1, and I want to go to verse 6 tonight. Good to see all of you here in the house of the Lord. God's been good to me this week. Has he been good to you this week? Amen. Can you count the blessings this week? If you thought about it, could you name the blessings? Amen. Well, God's been good to me. I know that. Praise God. We were in Bible study this week. I was teaching Bible study. And this scripture came up in Bible study. And something just, it just kind of rolled over in me. I've used this before in ministering. But it has a powerful thought with it. Let's look at the word here this evening, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. The answer to the question. The answer to the question. They asked him, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he told them, you're not supposed to know that information. You know, there's some things we just don't know. There's a lot of folks that claim they know a lot, but we don't know anything. We don't know anything. In fact, the Bible says we can do nothing without him. Without him, we can do nothing. And so we are tremendously limited here tonight, and the very best that we could do would still fall short. Amen. We need something greater than ourself. We need something greater than our wisdom and our understanding. We need something. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost tonight. We need God in our lives. I cannot overemphasize this tonight. We need God in our lives more than anything else in all of the world. Praise God. I need God. I need God, and I'm preaching to folks tonight that need God. Let's pray. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the presence of the Lord tonight. And I'm asking you to anoint the word of God and to speak to us. Touch us with your presence. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. If there was a time that we knew that this would be our last time together, I know that there are there are situations in life that are like that. We could look at the Apostle Paul and we could see where he told them, he said, you're not going to see my face anymore. This is our last meeting together. And if we knew that there was that this was the situation at that particular point in time, the words that we would say would be very measured. If we were very foolish, then we would speak a word of foolishness, and it would be forgotten. But I believe tonight that Jesus knew that he was about to be taken up. The Bible says when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, Jesus Christ is not just a man that was born on the face of this earth, but he was God manifest in the flesh. And the words that he had to say then carry very much weight. Amen. Very important, everything that he said. And he did not say anything, I don't believe, that was not measured and that did not have significance from the throne of God and was very, very relevant for you and for me. Praise God. I think tonight of the time that there were multitudes there, and he had to get in a ship on the seashore in order to speak to the people. There were probably 20,000 people there. You could just imagine an auditorium of 20,000 people, and you had an opportunity to say something to them. It would not be casual, as if Brother Fred and I were in a casual conversation. It would be something that you would have to think about for a long time. You would want to measure your words. You would want to say some things that, when it would be repeated in years to come, would carry some weight with it. Amen. You wouldn't want to just throw anything out there, but you would want to measure your words. And I think it's very awesome tonight that there were those 20,000 or so people, and he's standing in a boat, and they're waiting with bated breath, and they're waiting for the wisdom of heaven from Jesus Christ, knowledge that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And he opened his mouth and he said, "A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside." And he went through the parable, and the parables that he spoke, I'm sure were spoken with the understanding, "I'm only here for a very short period of time, some 33 and a half years on this earth, and some 3.5 years in his ministry, putting into the 12 disciples the Word of God and the plan of God that would go from generation to generation to generation. Never wrote a book, was not involved in anything like that, and only had a short span of time, 3.5 years, to minister on this earth." And when I look at this here tonight, and I see the question that these disciples had for the Lord, they said, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And they had a question, but their question was not really a very good question. And it really did not warrant an answer from the Lord. Some questions don't really warrant an answer. And he really didn't give them an answer here, but he gave them the most important thing that he could give them before he ascended into heaven. The disciples were in the mode of here and now. What I want here and now. What's happening in my life here and now. Will you restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? In other words, the Romans were an occupying force in their country, and it was a common belief that the Messiah would come and he would deliver them from the Romans, and he would set up an earthly kingdom, and he would restore the kingdom back to Israel. And Israel would be back to its glory day, and they could be a part of it, they could be involved in it, and all of that. Their thinking was earthly. Their thinking was only about themselves, and their thinking was about what's going on in their life. They were not thinking about anything else. They were not concerned. They didn't ask about their family. They didn't ask about their friends. They just wanted to know something big in their mind. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And folks, I'm telling you tonight, God is so wise. He's not so concerned about the moment. Amen. God's not so concerned about what's happening right now at this particular time, even though he is, because we're gathered. I'm not talking about this church service here tonight. We're all worried about North Korea, but you know what? God's not worried about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're concerned about taxes, and we're concerned about insurance, and we're concerned about all the medical and all of the things that we have to deal with. You young people, you're not really understanding what I'm talking about. but the day will come when you'll understand what I'm talking about. Amen. And you begin to think about earthly things, and your questions are centered around earthly things. And your prayers, if we're not careful tonight, our prayers can be centered around earthly things. Lord, this is what I need. And we tell God what we need rather than saying, God, we want your will to be done, and approach him instead of from a standpoint of pride, which maybe we don't even realize we're doing. But when we tell God what we need, I know he said that we should ask, for the Father knows that you have need. Amen. And we do need to go with him with our need. But there is a better way, and there is a deeper way of prayer. Amen. And that is to approach him with a humble heart and to say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Praise the Lord, because the answer to our question may be super simple, and it's not really what we're looking for. Amen. I've mentioned this before, but I've had folks come to me and say, I have a need. Can you talk to me about the need in my life? And I begin to take them to Calvary. One particular individual that I counseled with and spoke to her about some personal situation, I sensed that there was not a lot of faith in her heart. And she was just looking for an easy answer and really didn't want to hear what really needed to be said. And you can't help folks like that. And I just took her to Calvary. And I said, Sister, the Lord died for you on Calvary. Well, I know that. And so we talked a little bit more, and I said, but did you know that the Lord died for you on Calvary? Yes, he did. I know that. And she got upset with me because that was the answer. I think sometimes we're expecting God to give us a super complicated answer and something that is more fitting to us, you know. We really don't want to get baptized in Jordan River. We'd rather go to the clean river. Praise God. Not really looking for a simplistic answer, but the simplistic answers are more than not, they are the right answer. Praise God. Well, praise God. And the simple ones and the short answers, those are the ones that carry the most weight. Amen. They are remembered, and they have relevance to our lives. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Can you give us a timeline? Can you give us the details, point by point, how it's going to happen, when it's going to start, and how it's going to develop, and how it's going to end? Amen. I want to know. We're looking for this answer. And the Lord just reached out in simplicity, and he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. Praise God. Praise God. There's an awful lot that we can use here tonight. I'm going to be teaching on the church here coming up, and I've been meditating on that and thinking about that. And there's something that I would just like to share with you tonight. It's in the book of Revelation, and you don't have to turn there. But he wrote to the seven churches. And the seven churches, he told them where they were at, what they needed, and so forth. And then at the end of it, I believe it is in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, it says there was a door in heaven that was open, and a voice like a trumpet that said, come up hither, praise God, and I will show you things that will be done hereafter. And it is from that chapter through the rest of the book of Revelation, for the most part, that the wrath of God is poured out, the judgment of God is poured out upon the world. Amen. And we see all of that. Well, I'm telling you, I've got a feeling tonight that this whole thing is very simple. Praise God. And I'm not really sure that I have to understand it all. And it may just be that God isn't going to give me the starting point and how it's all going to work out and where it's going to end. I think He just gives me something very simple. Amen. There's a door open in heaven and a voice like a trumpet that says, come up hither. Praise God. We're not going to be here for the judgment of God. We're not going to be here for the tribulation. We're not going to be here for the wrath of God. And so everything from that point on is after the church is gone. Well, praise God. And so we're looking at folks today that have complicated answers, and they figured it out by the stars, or they figured it out by numerology, and they figured it out by visions of Isaiah or whoever and whatever. Amen, that this is where we're at, and this is, I believe we can see that it is coming, and it is right before us. Amen, it really is. Amen, they're chipping people now. They're putting chips in your hand. They're putting that technology into people, and I'm telling you, it is in Scripture. The Bible says we'll have a mark in our hand or our forehead, and if we take the mark of the beast, we are making alliance with Satan himself. And it says we will not be able to buy or sell or trade. Oh my, we got all disturbed back in the early 70s when EFT, electronic funds transfer, began to happen. And this is the Antichrist. It is right before us. The generation before me, Hitler was the Antichrist. He was going to take over the world. World War II was taking place. Literally millions of people were perishing. It wasn't like the little conflicts that we are seeing right now that we think are so big and bad. Hey, just go and read about World War II and see what happened in World War II. Amen. That was a tough generation. Amen. That was a group of people that were not complainers. Amen. Well, praise God. And they knew how to stand strong and to fight for what they believed. Praise God. And so I guess my point tonight is that we complicate things and we make it so difficult for ourselves. We're worried about the Antichrist coming tomorrow when it's time to pray. Amen. Can I just say it the way I feel it here tonight? Amen. We're caught up in all of this stuff, and our coworker doesn't have the Holy Ghost and needs God in their life. Praise God. We're worried about this and that that's happening, and don't misunderstand me. I'm very disturbed about the events that have taken place in our world. Amen. Especially when it begins to happen to the churches. Amen. And you can say what you want to say, but I'm telling you, we're living in perilous times. Amen. We're living in evil times. We're living in dark times. But it is not the will of God, at least in my estimation of the Word and my feeling from the heartbeat of God. If I could get that close to God, I believe that the Lord would say, you know what? You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, wait a minute. What's that got to do with terrorism? What's that got to do with North Korea? What's that got to do with the Antichrist? What's that got to do with Bible prophecy and Daniel's 70th week? Amen. What has that got to do with Ezekiel's visions and Daniel's visions and what's all happening? Oh, God, help us today. There are folks that are so caught up in this sort of thing. I know some of those folks that are so caught up in this thing. Amen. I'm telling you, they spend hours looking at YouTubes of that planet that's supposed to come and crash into the earth, and they've got it figured out that it's real because it's on the internet. Amen. It's true because it's there somewhere and somebody posted something and, well, it's there, so it must be true. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, you know what we need? Every one of us here tonight, we need the Holy Ghost in our lives. And not just the Holy Ghost, we need to walk in the Holy Ghost. We need to know what it means to walk in the Spirit and to hear from God and to obey God and to walk with God. Amen. To be used by God. You say, well, what's that got to do with all this other stuff? Listen, you're not going to make it when the Antichrist comes if you don't have the Holy Ghost. We'll be gone before he comes anyway, but I'm telling you, you'll never live for God at school without the Holy Ghost. You'll never live for God on your job without the Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll never be an example to anybody without the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's it really all about? Is it all about understanding the times and the seasons? Is it all about understanding what is happening right now in my life? Amen. Is it really all about what's going on in my sphere and my little world? I'm telling you tonight, there's a big world that God has created. There's a big kingdom of God, and I'm a part of that kingdom of God tonight. Amen. And God wants to use me today. God wants to do something in my life today. Praise God. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I'm not waiting for another day to come. I'm not expecting world events to transpire in a certain way, and then I'll jump in and get involved. No, I want to get involved right now and do the work of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't come here tonight to be ministered to. I came here tonight to minister. You know why? Because that's what the call of God is for every one of us. Amen. You say, well, I don't have a pulpit to minister for. I'm not talking about a pulpit. I'm talking about ministering to somebody that's in need. Amen. I'm talking about a word of encouragement. Amen. I'm talking about a word of edification. Praise God. I'm talking about building one another up. I'm talking about coming here and asking God, who should I pray for tonight? And pray for that person. And leave it there. Praise God. It's the will of God, amen, that we come up a little bit higher, amen, than just being children of God. Amen. Because children, little children, are on the bottle. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about it in the book of Hebrews, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but it says, when for the time that you ought to be teachers, it is necessary that one come and teach you again the basic principles of God. Amen. And so there comes a time. Now, not everybody's a teacher. That's not what I'm trying to say tonight. And most of us would go away from that. We don't feel comfortable with that. And that's all right, because not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody is a part of the same ministry. Amen. But if the Lord has put it on your heart to teach a Bible study to somebody, oh, well, I don't want to teach a Bible study because then I've got to sit down face to face and actually get to know them and they get to know me. I want something that's distant. I like the pulpit. Praise God. I want something that's distant, you know. Maybe an auditorium is more my style, where I can stand several hundred feet away and broadcast. You know, maybe have my own radio station and broadcast to the world, and I don't have to know anybody and all of that. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, God gave me the Holy Ghost, and he gave you the Holy Ghost so that you could be witnesses. I'll read it again for you tonight. Praise God. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. If you look in the book of Mark, if you look in the book of Luke, if you look in the book of Acts chapter 1 here, if you look in the book of Matthew chapter 28, it would be Mark chapter 16, it would be Luke chapter 24. In the end of those chapters is the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples and then, of course, to you and I. And in almost every situation, and actually in every situation, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. In one place, he said, go and teach all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so there is teaching and preaching. But the very last words that he gave us was not an understanding of prophecy. It was not an understanding of the deep things of the Word of God, which we're supposed to grow into over time and get off of the bottle and get on to the meat of the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. But it is a calling to touch somebody else with the gospel. And what is the gospel? Praise the Lord. Folks, this is just me here tonight. Amen. I'm just a Bible study teacher, and I teach people the Word of God, and I get right down to the very basic and the very simple. And I don't know about you, if you've never experienced it, you're missing something in your walk with God. But there's no thrill like just laying out the simple Word of God and then all of a sudden see an expression change on their face. I see it. Wow. That is awesome. There's something about that that is just really awesome. When all of a sudden that simple revelation, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And it makes a difference between that and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We were talking about that this week in Bible study. And all of a sudden that face changed. Praise God. Oh, it thrills me even right now as I'm talking about it. Because we cannot be saved without the gospel. Did you hear that tonight? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, Pastor, I came tonight to hear something about prophecy. Well, you want me to prophesy? Anybody want me to prophesy tonight? If you'll teach Bible studies, you'll win somebody to God. Mark it down. Praise God. I'm not going to prophesy about an angel coming down, an angel with one foot in the sun and one foot on the earth and throwing his censer down on the earth and there were thunders and lightnings. I'm not going to spend hours and hours and hours trying to figure out what that means. If God wants me to know, he'll show me that and I'll study and try to figure it out. But I'm telling you, I've heard so many that get into these deeper things, so-called deeper things of the Word of God. But my question is, how many people have you won to God personally? How many people have you affected by the gospel? What does it mean, the death, the burial, the resurrection? In death, we die with Christ in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. We are therefore crucified with him. Everybody said with him. We participate in the gospel when we repent of our sins. That is dying with him. Then he was buried. How can I be buried? In Romans 6 and 4, we are buried with him by baptism. So we die in repentance and we are buried in baptism. You say, well, Pastor, I know that. But I'm telling you tonight, there are people that you are around every day that don't know that. We cannot be saved unless the old man has died and been buried. We cannot go to heaven with the old man. We cannot go to heaven with the old man. Praise God. Salvation is not a patch on the old man. Salvation is not just covering up the old man. But it is when the old man dies, his way of thinking dies, his way of living dies, His way of talking dies. His understanding is changed. Amen. That old way of logic dies. And then when we are buried in baptism, it is remitted. It is washed away. Amen. And then, and only then, can there be a resurrection. You can't have a resurrection unless you have a death and a burial. Praise God. And we'll never have spiritual life until we have repented and been baptized. And then we can receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the power of God to live right. And we receive the Holy Ghost that begins to make us holy. I'm going to hurry here tonight. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know. What a letdown. He's about ready to leave. And he won't tell us what we want to know. Praise God. How many here tonight, and don't lift your hand or say amen or anything, but how many here tonight has got a problem in your life and all you can do is pray about your problem? How many of us here tonight have needs? I know we all have needs. We're people. We're dependent. We don't have everything we need. We fall short often. Amen. We don't come up to the measure. We do our best, but we fall short. We do our best, but hindrances come against us. We do our best, and it seems like everything is coming against us. When you try to do good, then evil rises up against you. Amen. When you try to bless somebody, they don't bless you back. Amen. We're in such need here tonight. But I want to ask us, where are we as a church? Where are we when we come to the house of God? Are we coming with the mindset, I'm just going to come and receive, or am I coming tonight to do the will of God? Am I coming to give to God rather than coming just to receive from God? But I know when you give, you receive. But you can't receive until you give. And that's why, folks, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here tonight, don't misunderstand me, but that's why folks get bored with church. That's why folks get apathetic about being in the house of God. And it's not an important day, and it's not an important time in their life. It's because the only reason they come is to receive. And after a while, pastor's only got so many stories to tell. Amen. I'm not Solomon here tonight. I can't quote Proverbs. I can't dazzle everybody every time you come. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, there's one who can dazzle us every time we come. And there's one who has a bit of wisdom for us. Amen. And it might just be for me in that service. And it's not the pastor and it's not somebody else, but it's God Almighty and the preaching of the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I can be dazzled every time I come to church. I'm not coming to church to hear a good sermon. Amen. I'm not coming to church, praise God, to receive something or to feel better. You know, I feel bad, so I'm going to church so I can feel better. Hey, that's all right for little children. But I'm telling you what, it's not all right for adults. You don't go to work because you want to feel better. You don't go to work because, you know, you're down and you want to get lifted up. No, you go to work because you know you need to go to work. It's a requirement in your life. It's responsibility. Praise God. I have bills to pay. I have this, that, and the other that I need in my life. And so I'm responsible. Praise God. You're responsible in that respect. Praise God. What we need is some responsibility in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. I am concerned how the lights are being paid. I am concerned how the insurance bill is being paid. I'm not saying we're in dire straits here tonight. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm telling you what, I have a responsibility. Praise God. I have a responsibility. And there are some of you here tonight that have taken on that responsibility. And God bless you. God's going to bless you. And God has blessed you and will bless you. Amen. But if I'm just here to receive something, after a while, you're going to say, you know what? I'm tired of that. Praise God. I don't watch television. I don't go to the movie houses. But they tell me that they have Batman, Batman 1, Batman 2, Batman 3, Batman 4, Batman 5. I don't know how far it goes. Iron Man 2, 7, 14, 269. And he's fighting the nemesis. And, you know, the first time you see one of those, it's probably, wow. It dazzles you. Yeah, I know folks my age that go to the theaters. And they pay a lot of money. And they get a box seat. And they like all of that stuff. Even though they know in their heart of hearts it's not even real. But you know what? After a while, you see Batman 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't go see it, all right? But I got a feeling after a while you could sit there and go, oh, yeah, he did that in the last one. He can't jump any higher than 15 stories. He fell off of a 60-story building and survived. I'd like to see him fall off a 120-story building and you know, after a while, folks, it just doesn't touch you anymore. God help us that we would never get to the place where the Word of God does not touch us. And where coming to worship God does not touch us. And we're only here because of an obligation. And we're only here because we know we need to be here. Praise God. Amen. What we need is the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. Anybody else need the Holy Ghost here tonight? I need God in my life. I need a reality in my life. Amen. And I've come to understand over the years in living for the Lord that He never gets boring. Amen. It's always the place I want to go. Amen. I love to be in the house of God. I love to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I love to worship and feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I've come to the place where I'm not coming tonight to be ministered to, but to minister. Praise God. You say, well, that's your job. That's what you were hired to do. Wrong answer. Go to the back of the class. We came here to minister when there was no one here to minister. One man. In a rundown building that nobody else wanted to move into. But we said there's a community here that needs a minister. They need somebody to help them. They need somebody to go out of their way. They need somebody that will work and make money and buy lumber to build the church. They need somebody that'll go out of their way and spend their time and their years to build what we have here tonight. I'm not patting myself on the back. Please don't take it that way. But folks, I'm telling you what, the only thing that's going to last in eternity is what we do for God. It's what we do for God. Amen. You cannot just slide into heaven off of a church pew. You've got to get yourself involved. And it doesn't have to be something big, but it's got to be something. And what we need in our church is some prayer warriors. Amen. What we need are some Bible study teachers. Now you're getting real quiet, I guess. Oh, well, I'll find a Bible study and give it to you, Pastor. Hey, I'm telling you what, pastor's getting older and it's tiring. It is tiring. Anna says at right. Amen. She knows after an hour Bible study, you feel worn out. Not that the other person is a problem. But you're giving out. You're giving out. You're giving out. You're giving out. Something is leaving you. Amen. Oh, well, I don't come to church for that. I come for it to come on in. I come with my mouth open. Feed me, God. Pour, I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Fill me up. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need somebody, and we do. Thank God we do. We need somebody that'll change the filters on the air conditioning units. We need somebody to vacuum the carpets. We need somebody to clean the bathrooms and to mow the grass. I thank God for our church. But there was a day when we needed somebody to lay the carpet. We paid to have this carpet laid, and I wished I would have done it because I wasn't happy with the results. But praise God anyhow. The other carpet that we had, how many remembers the green carpet? How many of y'all remember the green carpet? Amen. Praise the Lord. Guess who laid that carpet? Amen. I think it was here at the church. Got a picture of me laying on the floor, half dead. Laying carpet. Laying carpet. Why? Why? Not so that I could get rich, but so that I could make somebody else rich. Praise God. It's not for you to know these things. Prophecy, Antichrist, Daniel, Ezekiel, all of those things. The thing that we need to know is I need the Holy Ghost in my life. And I need to be a witness to somebody else to show them the way. Praise God, to give them the gospel. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Somebody said, Selah. That means think on these things. Praise God. And I pray you'll think on these things here tonight. And we will come up a little bit. I'm not complaining tonight. Don't take it that way. But we need to come up. Amen. I'm not here to receive something. Well, you know, I don't think I'll go Wednesday night because I didn't get anything Sunday night. You know what? It's not the right way of thinking about it. Praise the Lord. I know that somebody tonight will have a need in their life, and they need encouragement, and they need someone to pray for them, and they need the Word of God, amen, to give them strength and to help them down the road a little bit further. Praise God. Father, we lean on you tonight. We're so dependent. We're so ignorant of everything that we need. God, we're limited. We can do absolutely nothing without you. We don't know the right way to go. We can't have good understanding in our mind and our spirit without your help and your strength. But we know tonight that with you we can do all things. We can fill this church up. I can win a soul to you. I can be used to bless somebody else and to help somebody else. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight to come up a little bit higher than just ministering to our needs, speaking to our needs. Help us, Lord, not to have a mutual admiration society, but God, that we could reach out into this world, reach somebody with the truth. Reach somebody with the truth.